Well, are we supposed to bury people or cremate them? This seems to be a subject of interest. And I suppose I can understand why it is a subject of interest. Because it's a decision that every person is going to have to make or has made. And we ought to get some biblical perspective on making that decision. What do the Scriptures say? Well, I think most of you know where I come down on the issue. But let's look at the Scriptures and find out what they say. Obviously, in the short period of time that we have, we can't do an exhaustive study. But we will do a short study. And as I entered into this study, I looked in my concordance at all the references where the word burning or burnt was used. And I discovered some interesting things. I discovered, for instance, that the word burnt is used most frequently with regards to burnt offerings before God. I also found that the word burning is used most frequently in instances where the Scriptures refer to the burning of incense before the Lord, where the Scriptures refer to the burning judgment of God, or where the Scriptures refer to the burning anger of God. I found as I looked through the Scriptures in this regard that the word is never used with reference to God's people burning the remains of their dead, which I thought was interesting. The saints of old always buried their dead. And I think most of you understand that that's the case. And I'd like to begin our study this evening by looking at some outstanding examples. For instance, if you'd look at Genesis chapter 25 and verse 10. Genesis chapter 25 and verse 10. Well, we should probably read verses 9 and 10. These are outstanding examples of the saints of God being buried or burying their dead. Then his sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him in the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar, the Hittite, facing Mamre, the field which Abraham purchased from the sons of Heth. There Abraham was buried with Sarah, his wife. How many of you look forward to being buried with or next to your spouse? Do you? Yeah. And many people, isn't it the fact that many people, when they purchase burial plots, will purchase two adjoining burial plots, one for the husband and one for the wife. And sometimes there are, of course, larger plots, family burial plots. And that's what we find in the case of Abraham. And then if you look at Genesis 35, Genesis 35, 28 and 29. Genesis 35, 28 and 29. Now the days of Isaac were 180 years. And Isaac breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people, an old man ripe of age, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. Very simple. He was gathered to his people, which means that he went to be with the Lord, and his sons buried him. Genesis 50. Genesis 50, 11 through 14. Now when the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning at the threshing floor of Atad, they said, "This is a grievous mourning for the Egyptians." Therefore it was named Abel Mizraim, which is beyond the Jordan. Thus his sons did for him as he charged them, for his sons carried him to the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre, which Abraham had bought along with the field for a burial site from Ephron the Hittite. And after he had buried his father, Joseph returned to Egypt, and his brothers and all who had gone up with him to bury his father. Here was the practice, and of course we understand that it was the practice of the saints of old to bury their dead. And I think probably the most notable example, which to me is an extraordinary example, we read of in Deuteronomy 34. In Deuteronomy 34, verse 6. Well, let's read verses 5 and 6 so we see clearly what's taking place here. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. And he, that is the Lord, buried him, that is Moses, in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor, but no man knows his burial place to this day. Can you say that it is insignificant here that Moses is buried by God? I can't say that it's insignificant. Here is the example of God Himself for His people. God takes Moses and buries him. That's what the Scriptures tell us. God buries Moses. He does not burn his remains, but buries him. You can say, well, so God did that. Is that really an example for us to follow? I think yes. Why, may I ask, do we worship on the day that we worship? Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it, what? You shall not do any work. Why? Because it was set aside by God as a day of worship. And it's God's example that we follow in having a day of worship. And when we come to the first day of the week in the New Testament era, it is by the example of the apostles that we worship on the first day of the week. It's the example of Scripture that's given to us. Is God's example important? Indeed, it is. And we have before us in Deuteronomy chapter 34 a very clear example of the Lord our God. He took this saint, a leader of his people, and in a secret place buried him. And it's very clear. Why? Why? Why were these people buried? Well, for one thing, the body was seen to be very important. And I'd like you to look at an example which seems to me really lays before us this importance. Again, if you turn to Genesis chapter 50, the very end of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 25. In Genesis 50, verse 25, it says, "Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, 'God will surely take care of you. You shall carry my bones from here.' And so Joseph died at the age of 110 years, and he was embalmed and placed in a coffin in Egypt. And Joseph said, 'Now, you people, I want you to take my bones from here and carry them up into the land of promise.'" And what did the people do? Well, look at Exodus chapter 13. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 19. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 19. "And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, 'God shall surely take care of you, and you shall carry my bones from here with you.'" And so Moses did just that. Then finally, look at Joshua. All the way up into Joshua, the book of Joshua. Chapter 24, we have to go now to the end of the book of Joshua. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse 32. I want you to think about this a little bit now. Joshua chapter 24, verse 32. "Now they buried the bones of Joseph, which the sons of Israel brought up from Egypt at Shechem, in a piece of ground which Jacob had bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of money, and they became an inheritance of Joseph's sons. Now they buried Joseph." Think of the time span in this now. A huge number of years. I didn't go back and try and calculate the time of the death of Joseph until the Exodus. But we know at the Exodus, Moses, understanding the promise that the people had made to Joseph, took the bones of Joseph and carried those bones for how many years? 40 years in the wilderness. He carried those bones. And 40 years later, after carrying those bones around, they buried Joseph in the land of promise. It seems to me that we see a couple of things here. First of all, obviously, they felt that the promise made to Joseph was important, and it was. And so they carried that body around for 40 years. It had been embalmed according to the custom of the Egyptians, but not buried. And they carried that body around for 40 years. Would you have done that? Why not dispose of that thing? Why not get rid of it? What good is it? It was important that that body receive proper burial. And that burial may have had to wait for decades But it was yet important that that body receive proper burial. You know as well as I do that in many circumstances, such as in war, extraordinary effort is made. Extraordinary effort is made to ensure that the remains of an individual is brought back home for proper burial. Isn't that the case? And I've seen circumstances where people have spent days going through rubble where there has been a fire in order to discover the remains of an individual so that the body or the parts of that body which remain can be brought back and given proper burial. That's the kind of thing we see here with Joseph. It was important. That body was seen to be important, and proper burial was seen to be important. Why? Well, we looked at this a little bit when we looked at the catechism question and answer with regards to the resurrection from the dead. And it all does revolve around the resurrection of the dead, doesn't it? Why was Abraham buried? Why was Isaac buried? Why was Jacob buried? Why did God bury Moses? For this reason, they believed in the resurrection of the dead. Abraham did. Does the Bible tell us that? Of a surety it does. Look, if you would, at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 19. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 19. Well, again, we'll back up to verse 17. Hebrews 11, 17 and following. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. And it was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. He considered that God is able to raise men even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. When Abraham had that blade over his son Isaac, and he was ready to plunge that blade into the heart of his son Isaac, he would have gone ahead and plunged that blade into that boy's heart. He would have offered up Isaac, his son. There are those who say, oh no, Abraham wouldn't have gone ahead with it. I don't believe that's the case for one minute. He would have gone ahead with that sacrifice, and he would have gone ahead with that sacrifice for one profound reason. He knew that if God had to raise Isaac from the dead in order to fulfill his promises, God would do it. And Abraham was prepared to go all of the way with that sacrifice. There is no question about it. He considered that God is able to raise men even from the dead. Abraham believed in the resurrection, the bodily resurrection from the dead. That is the hope of every believer. And that is why, dear friends in Christ, Abraham was buried. And that promise, that understanding of the resurrection was passed on to Isaac, and he understood that resurrection, and he too was buried. And that understanding of the resurrection was passed on to Jacob, and he too understood the resurrection. And Moses also. The Apostle Paul tells us in Acts chapter 24, he says, you know, the reason I'm on trial is that I have a hope which all of our fathers understood. that one day there will be a resurrection. A resurrection. That hope was understood by those Old Testament saints, and it is brought into the New Testament and fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can't help but believe with all of my heart that this understanding of burial is central to the gospel itself. What is the gospel in a nutshell given to us by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15? That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. Without that burial, friends in Christ, the gospel would not be what it is without that burial. And as the Lord Jesus Christ was laid to rest in the tomb, so it is that the faithful in ages past and today are laid to rest in the grave. It is part of the gospel. It is part of our hope. And you who are children of Abraham through faith in Jesus Christ have the exact same hope as Abraham did, the resurrection from the dead. Praise the Lord. That's the essence of it. Again, look at what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 42 and 43. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body. It is raised an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Praise the Lord. I guess that's an editorial note. Jesus, did He not say that except a grain is placed in the ground and dies, it cannot come forth and bear much fruit? And as we said in our catechism lessons, individuals who trust in Christ are laid in the grave, sown as seed, as it were, and I say that reverently, in hope of the resurrection which will come. And that burial is a statement of hope in the resurrection when Christ comes a second time in glory. And let us be sure of that and understand it, that it is a statement of hope. The grave is not the end, is it? It is not the end. And too many consider it the end. And they see in the grave nothing but despair. Not so. Christian proper burial is a declaration of hope in the resurrection which will come. And my friends, that funeral service is a time then for celebration. Oh yes, it's a time for sadness. But it's also a time for celebration in the great hope which is ours as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that body is important, isn't it? And that's why the children of Israel carried the body, Joseph, for lo, those many years, and then buried that body in the promised land. You know, sometimes we are critical when there's a long time between a death and a burial. We want to get it over quickly. It's not always possible. We ought to in those circumstances where it's not possible. Be generous and wait so that a proper burial can take place. I think that's scriptural. I really do. And I'm not for waiting for 40 years. I'm not saying that we should do that. But if some time elapses, it's not a disgrace. And it shouldn't be considered such. Because burial, proper burial, is important. But if proper Christian burial is a statement of hope, what is the lack of burial? That's the question, isn't it? Well, let's see what the Scriptures have to say. Jeremiah chapter 16. Jeremiah chapter 16. Verses 1 through 9 in Jeremiah 16. Here, the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 16, the word of the Lord came also to me, saying, You shall not take a wife for yourself, nor have sons nor daughters in this place. For thus says the Lord concerning the sons and daughters born in this place, and concerning their mothers who bear them, and their fathers who beget them in this land. They will die of deadly diseases. They will not be lamented or buried. They will be as dung on the surface of the ground and come to an end by sword and famine, and their carcasses will become food for the birds of the sky and for the beasts of the earth. For thus says the Lord, Do not enter a house of mourning or go to lament or to console them, for I have withdrawn my peace from this people, declares the Lord, my loving kindness and compassion. Both great men and small will die in this land, and they will not be buried. They will not be lamented, nor will anyone gash himself or shave his head for them. Neither will men break bread in mourning for them to comfort anyone for the dead, nor give them a cup of consolation to drink for anyone's father or mother. Moreover, you shall not go into a house of feasting to sit with them or to eat and drink. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I am going to eliminate from this place before your eyes and in your time the voice of rejoicing and the voice of gladness, the voice of the groom and the voice of the bride. Those are hard words. The withdrawal of hope and consolation by God. And what is the sign? Or one of the signs of this withdrawal of consolation and hope. That people will die. They will not be lamented or buried. What is lack of burial a sign of? A lack of hope. That's what it's a sign of. A lack of hope. I want to ask you a question. Does cremation signal that same lack of hope? You know, there's a philosophy present within our society today, a philosophy which says we came out of the dust of the cosmos. And to that cosmos, we ought to return. And this life has meaning only insofar as we give it meaning ourselves. And so the ashes of an individual are scattered back into the cosmos from which they came. Now, if you ask me, that does not sound like a philosophy of hope.
but actually just the opposite. The Christian way has always been burial of the dead in hope of the resurrection which is to come. And let God do His work in returning that body to the dust. Not man, but God. That to me is the principle that we ought to follow. Let me refer you to one other scripture in this regard. We could look at others, but if this is the case, what is God's view of burning human remains? Here is one scripture from the prophet Amos. Okay? From the prophet Amos. Hosea, Joel, Amos in the Old Testament. Amos chapter 2 and verse 1. Amos chapter 2 and verse 1. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab and for four, I will not revoke its punishment, because he burned the bones of the king of Edom to lime. What was one of the great transgressions of Moab? They took the king of Edom and put his body in the fire and burned him to lime. And God says, for that transgression, I'll not remove the punishment. Now, I don't know what your reaction to that is, but my reaction is, wow. Wow. Now, that's one example. We could look at others. And you see, again, it seems to me that the principle is, friends in Christ, that as believers in the resurrection from the dead, we go to burial with hope, not despair. And we understand that that body is placed in the grave as a seed looking for the resurrection harvest, which will come when Christ returns in glory. And the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. Hallelujah. That's your hope. That's my hope. And though the world may scorn and laugh at that hope, folks, it's a reality. You know it as well as I do, because if there were no resurrection, our faith would be worthless. We'd still be in our sins, and we know we're not. By personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can say, hallelujah. We believe in the resurrection from the dead, and we can go forward to make that statement when a dear brother or sister passes from this life, and we lay that body to rest, and we can proclaim to the world the glories of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the resurrection. That's what it's all about. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We ask God that you'll bless it to our hearts. Give us conviction that we might live for you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.